there's no promise we have greater than what Jesus Christ is offering. You don't want any promises from the government. Trust me, they're bankrupt. And if you trust the government, please remember the Native Americans.
Yes.
Okay? Just saying. Folks, I'm telling you, we are living in such an awesome time to see God move. You have to believe, you have to hold on for every little thing. Just find something and hold on. If you're feeling faint of heart, you're feeling worn down, you're feeling like you can't go on, find a little something to hold on and say, I'm holding on to that. It's a little bit of hope, just a tiny bit. We serve an awesome God, an amazing God. So many people, especially today, are pushing that there is no God because, well, there's science. They worship science. We have a science teacher here. She will tell you, science is an exact discipline, if I'm correct on this. It's not, I mean, most of the time we're guessing, but things are exact. Your air is exact that you breathe. You can't take air out of an air compressor and breathe it. It will make you sick. But the air we breathe naturally, because the leaves on the trees produce clean oxygen that we can breathe, it's an exact science. Last night, Angela and I, we sat out around our little fire and said, we're going to wait till the stars come out. We're going to look at the stars. And I love sitting out there. I just love sitting out. She went to bed, and I think I was out there after about 12:30. And the only little concerning thing was all the coyotes around until the one gunshot. And then they went away. But anyhow, finally the stars had come out, started showing up, and there wasn't a whole lot of them visible last night. But I saw, I'm pretty sure it was a satellite booking it across the sky. And I thought, I wonder if it was a satellite or maybe the space station or something. And so I checked to see what was in the sky that night. And it said on June 3rd through the 9th, you'll be able to see Jupiter right below the moon, about 2 degrees off from the moon. You'll be able to see Jupiter. Looks like a bright star. And then off to that just a little bit further, you'll see, I believe it's called Spica or Spica, S-P-I-C-A. And it said, and out of the two, Jupiter is the brightest in the sky. However, Jupiter is not the brightest because Jupiter is merely reflecting the sun. They said that that little speck is actually two stars burning as one. And then if it were where our sun is right now, it would be 1,900 times brighter than our sun because that thing is 250 light years away. Think about that. That's an exact science. God didn't put this plant, put life on this planet near that thing. 1,900 times brighter. And, oh, everything happened by an accident. Come on. We're so smart, we're stupid. There is a scientist, I can't believe there's any scientist that believes that there's no God, that there's not intelligent life beyond our capabilities. I've heard Bill Nye, the science guy, going around saying there's no God, and then I don't know if his degree is actually in this, but he's only, and I don't make any light of this, but he's only an engineering doctorate. That's it. He has no clue on all this other stuff. He's just a guy with a TV show. As I understand, Dolph Lundgren has more degrees than he does. And he's an actor. But if we're going to be real, we serve an awesome God. He can take care of your problems. Today, you shout to the Lord. Remember, she wrote this song out of frustration and what it generates in all of us. People weep. People rise up. You can feel it rising up in you depending on where you're at that moment. I heard of a study done this week. I don't know when the study was done, but why do we like to listen to sad songs? We all do it, don't we? We find an old song. Sometimes a song will take us back to a time. Some of those you don't care to listen to. But then there's a song you listen to and you just get engrossed in it. And the reason is, it's therapy. They've done the studies and they say it's group therapy. That's why we listen to them. We all can let go and get engrossed in the song and deal with the emotions that we've been covering up. That's why we like to listen to them. That's why we like to listen to uplifting songs that encourage you to rock and roll and, you know, get on with your day. Because it lifts you up. So when we listen, sing that song, it's from a woman who was singing it out of, it's actually a sad song. She was frustrated with what was going on. And she cried out to God. Look at David. There's a whole bunch of poems and songs written in there from a man who was typically frustrated with what was going on. He's got friends trying to betray him, sons that's betraying him, people trying to kill him. And out of all of this, he wrote all of this. And we love the 23rd Psalm. Oh, it's so beautiful. Listen to it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I'm walking through where people want to kill me right now. And yet we grab hold of that and we love it. Why? Because in there is hope. For I will not fear, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And later he says, you've prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He went from, I'm scared to death, to realizing God is with me. Your rod and your staff, they are there, to you have brought me on the other side and I'm having dinner at my enemy's expense. That's why. That's why we serve such a great God. Don't forget that. I don't care what your circumstances are. God will see you through this. I'm going to share some more things today. Real quick here. I was sharing with Joe, if you looked at your announcements on the bottom, it said if you have prayer request cards, put them in the offering. Too late for that now. Make sure I get them. We are grabbing another gear. We're changing format just a little bit. We've done it the last 2 months. This is how it's going to be, at least through the summer. We're going to see what God does. I have peace. I don't move. You can ask my wife. I don't move if I don't have the peace. I have peace. As a matter of fact, I have a joy about what's happening, what God's doing. And I will share more here in a little bit. But if you have prayer requests, and please do not think, oh, we're just having prayer today, I'm not going to church. Let me quote you Matthew 21. Jesus said, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer. You have made it a den of thieves. You know why we've made it a den of thieves? We've taken away prayer. Jesus had all the changing tables and stuff and all that. They were in there. He said, you've robbed my people of prayer. Do you know how we're going to get through this thing? How we're going to get through this thing called life? It's not coming to church and singing a pretty song. It's not coming in here and something some preacher's spewing. It's coming to church and praying. If one of us can put 1,000, two can put 10,000. Typically, our prayer service drops down to about 10 people. Out of 60 to 70. I want 70 times that 100 or that 10,000 effect. If prayer bothers you, you've got a problem. I don't. You do. Get with God. So from this point on, until God tells me to grab another gear, our first Sunday, we will pray. There's going to be a short message. Don't worry about that. God gave me something where there's going to be a short message. But I can't tell you how many people stopped and told me last week, the last time we did this, how much that meant, how much more it meant that we prayed for them. So if you have a prayer request, go ahead and get it ready here in a little bit. But we're going to bless the tithe and offering, and all right. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for a beautiful and glorious day, Lord. Father, we thank you that the farmers are able to be out and getting their crops in before the next rain. Father, we bless them as they move speedily to do their jobs. And Father, we thank you and praise you for the opportunity to come together and present to you our tithe and our offering. Lord, we pray that you receive it. Lord God, may it be a sweet and pleasing aroma to you. I bless it now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated and the junior church is dismissed. Yes, ma'am. Stop. Praise God. Hallelujah. You just mind your business. Well, praise God. Well, I got to tell you that it's been a real... Things have been interesting in the last several weeks, at least for us. You know, school lets out early. You don't know what to do. The unfortunate side is school starts early. By my comparison, we didn't start until after Labor Day. Of course, we didn't get out until after Memorial Day, sometimes in June. The last several weeks, we've had a real interesting walk at our house. We've been trying to do things. And when I say walk, y'all know about a month ago, we lost water pressure. And, that makes for a real interesting Sunday morning. We later found a hole in the pipe that afternoon. Now we have to dig up 200 feet of water line and get things. If you need a prayer request, go ahead and get them written out. And so we started dealing with that. And then it started raining. And one thing led to another. You know, we just kept going on and on, and we just kept trucking. We were getting water out of the barrels outside. Finally we got a new pump in the well. We put the pump in the well and ran wire out there to it, new water line, everything. And when we get in the house, man, it is pulling so much dirt. It looks like chocolate milk coming through our water lines, which meant that we were pumping sand and everything else through the entire system. But not only that, you know, how many of y'all remember Home Improvement? Yeah, a lot. Yeah, she's recording it, all the reruns. I'm like, yes, got to. And unfortunately, most men really do think that way. If half a horsepower is good, one horsepower is better. If 120 volts is good, 240 volts is better. And in my opinion, 240 is better. It'll last longer. However, when your well is only 20 feet deep and you have about 7 to 8 feet of water and you can pump 30 gallons per minute, one horsepower is not good. Half a horse would have been too much. We could turn our well on, our pump on, and in about 5 seconds it'd be empty. It was pumping our well out so fast, and which meant we were getting some water, but we were getting a lot of air. So we'd be taking showers, you'd be get a little bit of water there for a little bit, and the next thing you know, and you're like, okay, am I going to be able to rinse? Are we going to be able to finish brushing our teeth? You know, and so that went on for a couple weeks until I pulled the pump out several times, made adjustments, shortened it, lengthened it. And then the other night I pulled it out and said, okay, we're going to drop down. Maybe that'll fix it. And it didn't. Things went worse. And I told Angela, I said, we pulled the thing out. I put the old foot valve on for the shallow well pump, which is 200 feet away, which I don't know how on earth it ever pumped to begin with, because they're only good for 25. I could not get that stupid pump to prime. And if y'all know me, you know I like to do it myself. Sometimes it's not always I like. It got ingrained into me because we grew up poor. Something happened, you had to figure out how to fix it. And so that is ingrained in me. That's why I do it. I can't ask other people for help, especially if I got to pay them. I'm used to being the one people call, okay? But for me, it's been a whole mentality shift. And finally, Angela, Friday night, it's 11 o'clock. I'm down in the basement pouring water in the pump trying to get the thing to prime. I'm thinking, 200 feet, this thing's got a long way to pull water. Because I'd pulled it back out, and it had water in the pipeline going up. It just couldn't pull it the 200 feet across. And so I broke down Saturday morning and called somebody. And the guy, I'm going to tell you right now, God gives you... This old boy, he said, "Well, I'm booked full today. I've got so many things. I'm going to call my brother. He'll call you right back." His brother calls me, and I'm going to tell you right now, bless God, I'm from West Virginia, and I understand hillbilly. He was hard to understand, but he pulled up, says, "Well, here's what I'm going to tell you probably is wrong with your well. You need it baled." I'm like, okay. You know, for me, baling is you pull water out of your boat. Or you're pulling bales of straw and hay out of a baler. And he says, "We're going to bale your pump, bale your well out first." And I'm telling you, folks, I could drop a string to it. I could see the water. It's not deep. And like I said, we probably had 8 feet of water inside a 4-inch tube. When you put a 4-inch or 3.58-inch pump down in there, there's not a whole lot of water left around to pull. And he starts driving this thing. And finally, he starts pulling it up. Praise God for people that know what they're doing. No matter how they sound, no matter how you look at them, he drops that thing in there, pulls it up. Grandson leans it over there and drops it. He says, "Oh, yeah." He says, "That's some dirty water there." And keeps going on. And then he pulls it up. The next one's black. He said, "That's magnesium." He said, "We're getting there now." He said, and then pulls it up. He said, "Okay, now see the sand? See the gravel? That's a good sign." I was like, "Oh, thank you, Jesus. I like hearing good things." And he'd marked the thing and kept going. And then finally he said, "Now you see that? That's clean water. We broke through." My well had closed off. Couldn't get any more water in. And I was thinking, God, is this the problem the whole time? Did I blow the hole in the water line, putting 120 pounds of air to it, like I did the gas meter here at the church? Which, by the way, 2 pounds is all they're rated for. The gas company sent somebody out. They took it off. And capped it. I wasn't allowed to do that anymore. Lesson learned. But you know, what it forced me to do was realize sometimes I don't know everything. However, when it was all said and done, we got it in, I wrote the check, paid the guy for it, had to go get it's called a flow control valve. You know, I have a 1-inch water line coming out here. It was trying to pump a solid 1-inch of water out, and this thing cut it down to about the size of a pea. So I'm getting 5 gallons per minute instead of 30. Because he pumped it, and we're running and running and running. Oh, things are going good. And then he opened up the valve as he was checking it out, and it started sucking air. He said, "Yep, you need one." Couldn't find one. He says, "I don't know anybody's got one." He said, "There ain't nobody in Mansfield's got one." He said, "Mount Vernon, you might get lucky." And I said, "Well, I've got an account at Johnston in Marion. Let me call." I called. "Yep, we got one." I said, "Bill it to me now." I don't want anybody else coming in and saying, "I need that." Because they'll do that. I said, "You bill it to me now." And they billed it to me. We went, picked it up. Picked up lunch, came home. A little bit later, we had water. But in all of that, I was like, God, I spent money, I spent time replacing that line. Did I cause the problem in the yard? And here's what God began to show me out of all of that. There was going to be a problem. If I could blow through a steel pipe with a little bit of air pressure, it wasn't very strong to begin with. And it was just a matter of time. Probably would have done it in January when the ground's froze. And we were tired of hearing that half-horse shallow well pump churning away underneath our bed. It was under our bedroom. Are you kidding me? 3 o'clock in the morning is when I got the water softener set to cycle. And it pumps like 30 gallons or something. I don't know. It just seems like it runs forever. And in all of that, God showed me, you now have a new pump. Your well is good to go again. You've got new lines. No longer are you sucking rust water through there, that black water from the galvanized. And I think some of the pipe was black pipe instead of galvanized anyhow. And so there was a lot of things we eliminated. We have clean water. As a matter of fact, our water is so much better now, I think my softener is overworking because it tastes a little salty when you drink the water. So I got to cut that back. Before, our water was so hard, you could still smell iron. That's how bad it was. And all that, God said, yeah, this probably was your original, told me this was your original problem. But you fixed all these other problems when the weather was good. Even though I didn't think so, sitting in a yard full of mud. So in all of that, God showed me I need to rejoice. And I'm going to tell you right now, y'all folks have been through this stuff. It's hard to rejoice when you're sitting in your up to your knees in mud. And you've got to find a piece of pipe. And you're standing on your head for 4 hours. I did it once and Jesse got to do it a couple days later. Or actually the next day. In all of that, rejoice. Turn your Bibles this morning to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5, verse 16 says, rejoice always. 17, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. First off, we're to rejoice always. Why do we need to rejoice? Because we need to remember the scripture that says, all things will work together. God will work all things together for the good of those who love Him. If you love Him, you will obey His commandments. That's how I'll tell you right now if you are loving God. If you aren't loving other people, you are not obeying the commandments of God. Oh my God, I do this, 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 and this, but I can't do that. I can't forgive that person. You don't love God. You think you are God. Rejoice always. Kind of hard to rejoice, isn't it? When you find out you don't have a trap in a shower that's set in concrete. When you find out your kitchen drains into the floor, into the ground right underneath your kitchen. It's not tied into anything. It's hard to rejoice in this stuff, isn't it? But God tells us to rejoice. Why? Because something will work out better for us. You know, we bought that house out in town. Man, I knew all the plumbing in this house. I'd replaced it all. It was good to go. I get out here, I crawl underneath my kitchen to move the plumbing and find out it just goes into the ground. Which back in the day was okay because it was a tile. We later found the tile, but it had rotted because they used metal fittings instead of plastic. So it's just been laying there soaking up into my floors as it evaporated. Oh, God. I ain't gonna lie, I did that a few times. But here's what you gotta understand, folks. In all of this, yes, I was a little frustrated, but I never let go of hope. I had already laid the kitchen out. As a matter of fact, I laid it out over here in the building before we started building classrooms. Since all my tools were in there, that's where I built the kitchen. And I had enough room, I could lay it out, and my wife could visualize it. I said, now just imagine yourself standing right here, looking out of the window. This will be facing the barn. Over here's the refrigerator. Here's your dishwasher. Over here's your stove and your hood. That's what happened. And with the well, you go a day without water. See how much you love indoor plumbing, especially the toilet. You'll appreciate that. You'll appreciate not having to go out every time you go to the bathroom and fill up a bucket or something so that the next person has water. Or that you're not having to buy drinking water. Which I praise God, we have sowed seed into people for water, for wells to be drilled. Rejoice. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be hunky-dory all the time for you, does it? Sometimes you got to go through hell to find heaven. And if you're going through hell, don't stop and take in the view. You know what happens when, here's what happens when you let frustration take over. We all get frustrated. Jesus got frustrated. Let's understand that. We all, Jesus never got frustrated. He never did this. Are you kidding me, man? The night before he was to be betrayed, he was stressing to the max. He was bleeding through his sweat glands. His body was just absorbing the stress. He even said, God, take this cup from me if it's possible. If there's another way, let's go that route. But we don't look at that. Oh, Jesus never did. Jesus had emotions like us. He had temptations like us. He felt hunger. He felt pain. He stubbed his toes. I hear people teaching, well, Jesus never did any of this. Then he doesn't know what it's like to be me. And that's not what the Apostle Paul taught. He said, we have a high priest who knows what it's like to be tempted, who knows what it's like to get hurt, who knows what it's like to have people turn their back. But you grab hold of the hope. And you say, okay, Lord, I'm standing knee deep in waste, but I know what it's going to look like in the end. I know we're going to have good water pressure. It's going to flow up to my house, and I'm not going to have to worry about this for years to come. I don't have to worry about any of that anymore. That's why we built the addition when we did a garage, and turned out a 2 bathrooms, a bedroom, closet. It was supposed to be a garage. But I told her, I said, I want to do this now while I feel like doing it. While I have the energy, while I have the ability to still do most of it by myself or with my sons. I don't want to be in my 60s. I'm going to build basically another house. I don't want to be thinking about that then. I don't want to be thinking about the sewer system that's going to need to have some changes done down the road here. God forced me to go ahead and deal with this one. And I rejoice that he did because, man, I tell you, I told him, it's so great. I don't hear the pump running. I can just hear a click when the switch kicks in and out. That's all I hear. I hold on to that and I can rejoice. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm going to have running water at the end of this. By the way, I got to run a track hoe, a little mini hoe. I love it. I want one. I'm kidding you not. I want one. I don't know where I'm going to dig all these holes. I told somebody, I said, I'll just dig them and fill them back in. And then Trisha's going to borrow it. She's going to dig holes. Yeah, see, people got all kinds of places I can dig holes. I had a ball doing it. Go to verse 17 up there. Always pray without ceasing. I've talked about this. We've talked about praying without ceasing. You don't have to just have an hour and that's all you ever talk to God. What kind of relationship is that? If all I ever say to my wife in the morning is, good morning, I love you, what can you do for me? What kind of relationship is it if I don't talk to her throughout the day if I'm around? God never left me, did he? And then verse 18, in everything, giving thanks. Here's what I have heard taught. I want you to understand. People have said, thank God that you're going through hell. It's kind of hard to do that, isn't it? I don't think he meant thank God that hell broke loose in your life. Thank God that your well went dry. Thank God that he's going to work this out. That he will take you through it. And then rejoice. This is all kind of, you got to keep understanding, it's constantly working. It's like atoms. Things are constantly moving. Electrons and neutrons, they're constantly moving. Things have got to keep moving. And this is what I'm kind of picturing. Is things moving like that. And they're creating energy. They're creating a movement. And when we can give God thanks, that God, you're going to move. You're going to make this thing work out to my better. Doesn't matter how long it takes you to sell your house or that you get one day to move. God will work things out as he's doing. We got 10. We had somebody buy it on our house and we said, sayonara, you could have asked for 2 days and I might have gave it to you. I went out of town that bad. But God worked everything out. So don't ever think that, oh, okay, you know, I'm going through hell right now and I got to go by myself. No, you're not there by yourself. Everybody walks through that valley. Everybody. And it doesn't matter if you feel special all the time. God didn't turn his back on you. He just asked you to trust him. Some of us may have a little longer journey to go. Some of us, it may take us a little longer to grab hold of and say, I'm not letting go this time. We grab hold of God things got bad. I'm letting go. I'm not going to do that anymore. God knew you were going to do it. God knew what I was going to go through. God knew that I was going to start saying, God, is there something wrong with me? That everything I do is against me in this deal? My knee goes out, hurt my back. The backhoe that I had for free, the injection pump started falling apart inside. I was like, man, God, if I didn't know any better, I'd say this operation is cursed. And that's what people want you to look at. They want you to, oh, just give up. Listen. There may be things, I agree, there's a time when you have to evaluate something and say, that's not working anymore. But giving up is not necessarily in my vocabulary. You can ask my wife, it's 11:30 at night and I'm still down there trying to suck water 200 feet away in a pump that I think I could outperform. I don't think that thing could hardly do anything anymore. It was an old pump. God wants us to rejoice in him, that he's going to see us through it. He wants us to give thanks for everything that he's going to do. He will make the way. He will open the doors. He will close the traps. You have to hold on in faith and believe that he will. That's all it boils down to. When we pray today, I know some of you are believing for some things. Don't let go of what you're believing for. Well, Pastor, we've been believing for 2 months. If it takes you 20 months, will you still believe? Well, I want it now. Do you want what you want now, or do you want what God knows will make you happy now? Angela had driven, we drove by that house years ago. Honestly, never saw it. And then when we saw it, she didn't want the house. I'm kidding you not, folks. She cried when the rest of us wanted it. She's like, no, God. She even told God one time, God, I'll move to a single wide trailer and live in that if you want. And God said, will you not take my blessing? And now I can promise you, I've told her, I said, somebody comes up and offers me the right amount for this place, it's theirs. When I'm done, ain't nobody going to be dumb enough to buy a house that's not quite done yet. But when I'm done, if they come up with the right check, cash in hand, she's like, I don't want to move. I'm like, well, neither do I really. Because I'm not going to find any other place. I've got a nice view no matter where I'm sitting. If we had taken what we wanted, we'd be living in the middle of the woods with a drug dealer on the corner, another Marine next door, which I don't know if we could have done that, The hilarious part is God moved me into a neighborhood. There are four Marines within a... I have no idea how that happened. Three of us moved in close to the same time. I told Angela, I said, look, okay, I know that guy's a Marine. That guy's got a Marine sticker in his window. I'm a Marine, and the neighbor down the road is a Marine. Our neighborhood's pretty well protected. And the best way we get along is not to associate too much. Marines are too opinionated sometimes. Aren't we, Kyle?
No.
The only thing we can agree on is Marine Corps. No, we get along good, I'm just saying. But folks, when you're praying for things, trust God. I know things aren't always looking right. It's like, oh God, what did we do? Did we make a mistake? No, trust and hold on. God knows what will be in the end. How many of you all have seen the movie, Are We Done Yet? With Ice Cube. Yeah, I had to make sure I had the right one. Not Ice Tea, Ice Cube. y'all should. The only reason I know them is because they're in movies. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to see it. He's talked into buying this beautiful house. I loved it. And then, if y'all ever watched Money Pit, this is Money Pit, in my opinion, on steroids, and a whole lot funnier. Things fall apart. And in the end, he said, you knew this house was junk. He said, no, I knew you needed this house. I knew you needed more than a house. You needed a home. He said, I knew what this place could be. I've got houses out the yin yang, but this one was you. You needed this. It needed you. God knows where you need to be. And I know some of you are believing for a house. And I'm speaking to you too. Okay? But some of you are believing for a car. Some of you are believing for a better job. You've got to talk to God. You've got to trust and hold on. Maybe it's not there yet. This house did not come on the market when we sold our house. We were in contract and didn't have a house. And the house we were in a contract with, it expired and they sold it themselves with a land contract. We were without a house and our house was sold. You know what God did? Shut the government down. Our house came on the market during that. The stupid part was, my loan was all ready to rock and roll. We weren't waiting on mine, it was his. God had it all worked out, the timing. Because he had to give her time to mourn. To mourn and then accept. Sometimes when you preach, you get it.
Sure.
Go ahead, quickly.
God changed that.
Okay, we're done.
No.
Yeah.
I came and I told Tricia and Katie the Sunday morning that we had just looked at it on Saturday. I had cried. I was, oh my gosh, no. And they asked how the house situation was going, and I told them that, you know, what happened and everything. And I said, please just pray for me, you know. And Katie said, I'm going to pray that God will either give you just complete peace if this is the house, and if he doesn't give you complete peace, then something else is going to just come right up and available right away. And we literally took hands and prayed that right there on that stage, and before service was over, I had complete peace. So God can,
yeah.
You know, he works,
yeah,
in us fast, and the, yeah, circumstances will follow.
Yeah. Yeah. So don't lose heart. Don't lose sight of what God has for you. Because in the end, it fulfilled all of our requirements. Every one of them. Now, we're going to pray. You got some prayer requests for me? I know I saw... Okay. My usher's got them for me. Thank you, sir. See, this is what I'm talking about. I got another handful of prayer requests. Before, you know, it'd be maybe 6, 7.
And I knew there were more things that people needed. Okay. I just got to flip through them real quick. I got two in here that are the same. The people don't know they put them in. Okay. All right. Praise God. Like I said, we're going to believe. A lot of these, most of these, are for other people. Now, God doesn't have a problem with you praying for things for yourself. He knows your concerns. See, there were some things I was reading about this the other day. We get concerned, oh God, I'm praying for myself all the time. Listen, you are allowed to pray and ask God. Jesus prayed and asked God to take something away from him. His call. I know, I've done it. God, take this away from me. What did you do to me? I have to laugh. There's been a couple times. We had Doc Barclay in here one time, and then we saw him. We went down to Westerville and heard him preach, and both times he prophesied over us. I don't know if he realized he spoke the same exact thing both times. And he's standing there, and he starts to pray over us, and he said, Lord, you did this to them. Both times, you did this to them. You know why God had him speak that? For me. For me, because there were times still, you know, not anymore. I know it's God. I knew it was God. I knew I'd heard from God, but I was still like, God, really? There was nobody better. Well, there was more qualified. Oh, they can speak the language that I can't. They can quote scripture that I probably don't even know exists. But they weren't the one. There were better people than David, I'm sure. Definitely a lot better people than Peter. I mean, come on, he smelled like fish all the time. And they didn't have deodorant. Which is another good thing for showers. Baby wipes only last so long. Praise God. Well, let's go before the Lord and pray. We've got a lot of things to... A lot of people got some issues. So, let's pray. We got some healings. People got some cancer. I know God heals cancer. There's been people in here, God told you, doctor told you you had cancer. Too many numerous people that this God has healed for me not to believe that he heals. So, hallelujah. Let's go before the Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come before you today in Jesus' name. And Lord God, I thank you and praise you that we can come before your throne boldly and we can make our supplications to you. Lord, I pray now that as we come, Lord, the faith of each and every person in here who is believing something for themselves, Lord, will be stirred.